Good morning, KINS. Blah, 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 blah. It's Monday. Andy's here. Hi.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
Yeah, well, obviously a little confused early on a Monday, huh?
You want my coffee instead?
No, no. All that's going to do is set me up for a week of misery. Oh, boy. Let's see if we can find a quote and get back on the rail, huh?
On the right track?
Yeah. Robert Benchley. Took me 15 years to discover that I had no talent for writing, but I couldn't give it up because by that time I was too famous.
Trapped in a job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, boy. So how are things down at the cop shop?
Cop shop's doing pretty good. Today we promote three new sergeants officially and one detective. So that's always an exciting time. And we'll do a full command inspection and celebrate some of the successes that some of our people have had. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, you're going to just keep their names in limbo, or do we have to wait for a press release?
No. It's out there. It's Lenny LaFrance promoted to sergeant, and Ed Wilson promoted to sergeant, Terry Lyles promoted to sergeant, and Rick Bice promoted to detective.
Detective's kind of one of those under-the-radar things, isn't it?
It is.
For the community?
Yeah. Yeah, they're behind the scenes, and, you know, it's amazing. They do an extraordinary job here. I have to be honest. One of the pleasant surprises that I found when I got here is that these detectives are very, very capable people. And, you know, because sometimes you're coming in, you're trying to do the assessment, and, okay, what do we have? What are our strengths and weaknesses? And but our detectives just do a darn good job. But they handle all the way from residential burglary to murder to officer-involved shootings on a regular basis. They really get a lot of reps, and not that we have a lot of officer-involved shootings on a regular basis, but they get a lot of reps, and so that's powerful in that you learn, you know, as you go sometimes.
So what makes a good detective?
You know, it's interesting. That's a good question, because a lot of times when you take a look at a person who's a patrol officer and you say, wow, that's a good cop. They get guns on a regular basis. That doesn't necessarily make them a good detective. It takes a strong analytical mind, a person who's dispassionate, and the ability to write like nobody's business, because they do so many search warrants and they do so many affidavits and putting cases together, and you know, the hard part is the objectivity, because you all of us bring assumptions to what we're doing. And if you take a look at a dead body, for instance, you're going, okay, I think I know what happened here. You know, it was the maid with the
candlestick in the library.
Yeah, but you really want to maintain that objectivity, and then look at things as scientifically as possible.
So, curious mind.
Curious mind. Yeah, they're very curious minds. Rich Bice. One of the reasons I promoted him is because a local attorney was getting stalked by a person in our community, and I said, Rich, put a case together on this. And he did. And what a fantastic case he did, in addition to his regular patrol duties. It was just truly amazing.
So it's a promotion to get out of the car and into the office?
It is. And stable shifts, see your family on the weekends occasionally.
yeah, scheduled at least,
yeah,
right?
Scheduled, yeah. At least when you're, you know, so it's all that kind of thing.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before, because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS. News and Information Time is 8:23. Back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. See, I can get it right the second time. The hail yesterday, did that trigger anything for you guys? Because I know you can't train for it.
Yeah.
And yet when it's down, boy, it seemed, at least with the CHP guys, they didn't watch too much TV yesterday.
No.
They were out moving around a little bit. Crescent City was under white. Brookings was under white.
Yeah.
Do you guys just kind of put on another jacket and drive a little slower?
Yeah, they're always out. You know, we don't have the luxury of sitting at the station watching the reruns of Barney Fife. I mean, our guys are out there humping it all day long every day. We are certainly the busiest police department around up here anyway.
So with the challenges that that does represent, mm-hmm. whether it's on the weekends or on a weekday, are you getting close with the Measure Z and the other funding things that are out there? Are you getting close to where you want to be?
Well, we're fully staffed right now. This is the first time in memory that we have enough bodies.
You say staffed fully. I said where you want to be.
Yeah, well, I understand that, but this is the starting point. I mean, you know, if you can't get up to full staffing, we can have 100 officers allocated to the department. I've also tried to be very careful to try to eliminate calls for service that aren't necessary. So, for instance, we get a lot of calls on 911 butt dials. You and I have talked about that in the past. We've eliminated those and by doing broadcasts. We get, you know, somebody calling in who sees somebody talking on their cell phone. Well, people want, you know, a SWAT team rappelling out of helicopters for that. I need to create the space for our officers to be proactive, to get out there and really get after people who are more dangerous to society. And that level of discretion, you know, that we entrust our officers with of what to focus on and when, we have to give them that space. And we've done a variety of other things with that. I think that in Eureka, you know, I would love to see, you know, 200 officers patrolling the streets, but that's not going to happen. And nor should it, because we don't want to over-police. And the second issue is, who's going to pay for it? We can barely keep up with the staffing we have, you know, pay-wise. In fact, we're paid far below what others are paid, similar size around the state. So you've got to kind of balance that out. And I'd like to just retain the people I have. That would be kind of helpful.
You get out of the hamster wheel?
Yeah. Well, you know, 70% of our patrol force is brand new. And now people say, okay, so what? Well, it takes about 5 years for an officer to become competent at what they do. And that's not even talking about the higher end stuff that they need to do.
But when you hire local kids,
mm-hmm.
I would think that compresses that timeline a little bit.
No.
Really?
No.
So this is just coming up to speed with policing stuff,
just
not
policing,
the community stuff.
Not the community stuff. So, for instance, you know, you get, at 3 o'clock in the morning, you got a guy waving a knife frantically and screaming because he's out of his mind, a daily occurrence for us. And I've got a 22-year-old with not much life experience going to go talk to that guy. I was talking to a mental health professional the other day, and they're saying, yeah, you know, it's very difficult for us in our environment to be able to determine whether this is meth psychosis or
something
organic
else.
Psychosis, yeah. Whatever. And, you know, in our environment, we have to be very careful how we make these judgments. Well, now you're telling a 22-year-old kid in the darkness with this guy screaming with a knife in an open environment to make that same decision. And it's very tough, but we expect a lot out of them to do these things. And so I want to make sure that we give them the tools, but some of that just takes time. You know, the fifth time, it's called pattern recognition. The fifth time you do this thing, you go, okay, I'm not smart, but I figured this out, that this guy's likely to submit to me with that knife if
get
I handled this
the
way.
Knife.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out the beanbag gun.
Yeah, number one priority.
Yeah.
Get the knife. So for somebody who's new to a community, how long does it take before they come up to speed? Is it a little bit longer?
You know, what's interesting is they won't have the historical perspective that you do.
Or family names.
Or family names or things like that.
Where somebody might be hiding, because I remember.
Right.
And
right.
use personal history.
Right. What they are able to do, though, is learn the city quickly, because you get so many radio calls. You get 30 radio calls a day at different locations. You're talking, you know, in 100 days, you're talking 3,000 radio calls. So if that's 33,000 locations in the city where you're going. And that way you learn pretty quickly. What they don't learn is, well, Brian Papstein's, you know, grandpa owned the, you know, started the radio station here in Eureka, and the family connections and all that kind of stuff, and I can't expect them to know that.
But that's more social than it is day-to-day job-related stuff.
Yes, and, okay, so your family, you know, started, what does that mean for us in a crime context? Not a whole lot. Yeah, not a whole lot. But I think that there is some value to knowing that historical perspective because it gives you a deep appreciation of the community. So we try to circumvent that in other ways, such as doing community events and, you know, the neighborhood barbecues and those kind of things.
Some of the less structured.
Less structured.
Yeah. See, I could be your PR guy.
You could.
You know, I might really screw it up for you every once in a while just to keep you on your toes, though.
I do that plenty well on my, yeah, my own. Yeah. Thanks.
I noticed you kind of have honed that skill set pretty tightly.
Easy, Turbo.
Oh, boy. Does a community react differently to a local kid?
I don't think they know for the most part, other than you get...
Your regulars don't know.
No. I other than they get that maybe they saw this person in high school, like my PIO... Public Information Officer Brittany Kesterson, every time we talk about a case that we're going to do a press release on, she goes, oh, you know, I went to high school with his sister, or, you know. I mean, there's always a connection of some kind.
Well, we still are Humboldt County.
Yeah.
It's 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills.
What up?
You've been out on the street a little too much.
I didn't throw up the sign, though.
That's, I would have figured it was some kind of a gesture anyway. You know, you still got the gun.
Yeah, I do.
I don't have the gun.
You don't need it with your
I
size.
Will allow a certain degree of flexibility because of that gun. Talk Shop presented by Redeck and by CDH Painting. Andy, the city has determined that they're going to be, I guess, part of the general plan, I guess is where it's coming from, but zones for the marijuana manufacturing, processing, squishing, whatever we want to call it.
Extraction. And
yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, the lavender machines, so to speak. With what is in place now, is the city ready? And are you guys going to end up being the enforcers, or is there a code enforcement department that's part of this also, similar to what the restaurants deal with their situations with what gets put into the systems?
Yes and yes. So, yes, we are going to be part of it.
Haven't said that in a while, have you?
Yes, we have a we are going to be part of it. In fact, I wrote the guidelines for how the businesses have to operate once they get in. Rob Holmland from Community Development and I, you know, collaborated on those. And so we put together three strata. One is the no-risk strata, where you're, like, for instance, there's a company here in town now that it's called the Leaf Detective, where they just examine a gram at a time. And they look at the THC content. They look at the chemicals in it. They also look at the pesticides on the
leaves. So this is like the chemistry guys that are associated with the labeling?
Right. So the most they're going to have, for instance, is an ounce at a time in the building. Okay. Pretty low risk. And they got Spectra, you know, these very fancy machines that I can't pronunciate correctly.
You could say low risk like radio stations, I hope.
Yeah. And then we have the medium risk places that are folks who maybe are distributing marijuana at a pretty small level. Maybe have a pound or two at a time.
That's not retailing.
Yeah, retailing.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can have a retail setting with only a pound?
Sure. Sure. They're not going to have massive amounts here.
Oh.
So I wouldn't think. So it'll depend on what the business is, the type of business, and then you're going to have distribution centers where they may have millions of dollars worth of product on hand. All three of those require different levels of security, in my opinion. And so we're making suggestions based on those levels of things that they're going to want to do. For instance, on the you got $2 million worth of products sitting there, you need an armed guard, you need complete 360 video surveillance, you need man-trap doors, you need hardened assets. I mean, this is
part of the permitting process.
Part of the permitting process. And that we will go and inspect those. So I have a guy named John Shoot. And John is a former Las Vegas Metro PD guy who is going to do this for us. And a real bright guy, master's degree professor, and he's working part-time. So that'll be on our side. On the other side of the aisle, code enforcement has one. They're going to two now. And the funding from the permitting process will pay for these positions, so it won't be additional to the budget or extra budget. And they will be doing a lot of regulation, and then it calls for different levels of inspection.
And different frequencies?
And different frequencies based on what they're doing. And now the question, the finer detail is going to be, are they going to allow volatile extraction or are they just going to do CO2 extraction? Which means that they,
you're becoming an expert, aren't you?
Unfortunately. But not as much as others. I mean, I know that the federal government's saber-rattling, saying we're going to prosecute these cases. I don't see how that's possible.
Well, and if they do, they do. I wouldn't think that would change your procedure and your protocols.
No. And I don't want volatile extraction in the city. Now Pfizer Pharmaceutical comes in with their...
So volatile, obviously, it could go boom.
Yeah.
I wouldn't think that anybody would have been thinking that permitting that in that part of town would make any sense. Maybe out on the spit, if they've got a 10-acre clearance.
Yeah.
Okay, knock your socks off.
Right.
Right next to the fireworks testing
facility. Well, I think there are some that think it's going to be fairly safe to do that. I'm not one of them because I don't have a whole lot of hope in the people that are running these things. Now, you get a Pfizer Pharmaceutical come in and doing it with a really high regulations and all that kind of stuff. Okay, I get it. But that's not what we're talking about here.
You want a little bit more proof than...
I'm a little bit more suspicious than that.
KINS, News and Information Times, 841. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 845. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Andy Mills. So, Andy, as you look at the implementation and the rollout of this thing, do you have to assign your guys any differently because of this code enforcement? Because the money isn't rolling in yet. I still have a tough time, unless it's earmarked, that you're automatically going to get 100% of this out of the general fund. You have that concern as well. The startup on this thing, because it's starting up.
Yeah.
Are you now just kind of operating in deficit for the first little bit?
Yeah, a little bit, but that won't really affect us in the long run. It's interesting because the state has approved this proposition, and yet they have no regulations on how we can even run criminal histories and fingerprints to make sure that these people are legitimate.
By legit, you mean have taken out a business permit?
No,
they're Americans?
No, that they haven't had prior felony convictions.
Outstanding felony warrants. That's another good area.
Okay, yeah. So technologically, we could have done it yesterday, but there's laws prohibiting us from doing that. So we have to have a special, and so we went for 3 months asking the state to give us their guidelines. Amanda O'Neill's been all over this. And long story short, state never even got back with us on it because they didn't know what to do. So finally, we got a hold of them and said, well, just have city council pass a resolution saying that it's okay for you to do this. But the federal government's still saying you're not cracking our database. So you could have a conviction for felony distribution of heroin in Nevada And we'll be blind to it here in California, unless you were arrested in California. Yeah, so this whole thing is a little bit disturbing.
Yeah, and the state AG isn't doing anything?
No. We finally get, so
how
we
about
have
the electeds?
Well, our electeds are
McGuire and Woods.
Yeah, they're aware of it. And Mike, and in fairness to Mike and Tom Woods, they've been Jim Woods.
Jim.
Yeah. They've been all over it. I mean, they've been trying to get stuff moving and doing it the right way. I'll give him both of them a lot of props for doing that.
How about the congressman?
You know, I haven't read what he's said about it, so I don't know.
Okay, so the city has got its act kind of down on paper.
Because Rob Holmlin.
The formula's there. The following of the formula, I would imagine there's a lot of permits and a lot of activity going on. You satisfied with the way it's gone so far in Eureka specific?
Yes. Yes. I know that some staff members have put a lot of work into this, and I know that council is mindful of it, at least looking at it. The question is going to be, are we going to do a great job at this, or are we going to just do okay? And I think that time will tell.
Ideally. You're busting chops. You've got code enforcement. You've got your ace guy on, but you know who the players are. Do they stay in Eureka, or do they go over to Fortuna? Or, pardon me, over to Arcadia?
They're not going to Fortuna.
No, I know. Yeah, blending conversations again.
Yeah, Fortucky.
Sorry,
all you Fortunans out there.
Moving over to the industrial park and some of the complexes that are in Arcata, or do you want them to stay in Eureka and you figure things out together?
I think they want to be in Eureka because we're the county seat. We're the biggest jurisdiction here, and I think that this would be the place for them to be. Maybe the experimental stuff, that stuff can go over to Arcata and be welcomed and supported and all that kind of thing. But I think that what you're going to see is most of them are going to want to be in Eureka for a variety of reasons.
And you don't have to expand the police force to accommodate this. This is just your one buddy.
Well, we'll see how much business it brings us. But I just read an interesting piece of research from Colorado that suggested that if you do high-end security at those locations, it'll actually could reduce crime in those specific areas.
Any potential to spin out into other parts of the city, reduce criminal activity there?
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I want to try to end it on an upbeat. Thanks for coming by.
All right, man.
See everybody tomorrow.